Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. I hope you are doing well this week. I am doing well. I just finished reading John Scalzi's new book, which is Fuzzy Nation. Excellent book. Of course, I haven't written a review yet because I just finished it on the bus this morning, but my tiny little bite-sized review, go get this book. It's very, very good. Any book that has an evil multi-planetary corporation as the main antagonist, that's my kind of book. But yeah, it's been pretty good here. It's been getting hotter and hotter as it does in the Northern Hemisphere this time of year as our axial tilts us closer to the sun. It's one of those horrible consequences. What you gonna do? Stay in with the air conditioning, basically. So, last week I gave you a clue as to this week's book. Why don't we gotta jump right in because honestly I have a lot of stuff to do tonight and it really doesn't keep. I told you last week we were going to do Terry Pratchett because I was thinking about Terry after hearing about his decision that he's going to make about ending his life. And I said I wanted to do a little bit about, well, if you've ever been in a band, you would certainly know this book. And I mentioned Poster, and my friend Chris got it immediately. He didn't have to hear anything else. He didn't even have to hear the name Terry Pratchett. All he heard was there was a shout-out to Poster, and he knew exactly which book I was going to do. In case you're interested, Poster was the band that we were in when we were in college. It was amazing. You have never heard anything like it. It was startling, and the only reason we were not the breakout success of the 90s was because we couldn't get a gig off campus that would let us play for more than 15 minutes. Other than that, man, we would have been brilliant. So anyway, he got it right. Also, my brother Paul got it right. And it is Soul Music by Terry Pratchett. Now, I'm sure you've heard somebody say, music is my life. Maybe it's the musician on TV, maybe it's your 16-year-old son, who knows. So how many times have you heard that? Now, from bona fide rock stars to, you know, teenage wannabes, there's really something about music that occupies us, that just possesses us and won't let go. Even if you're not really a big music lover, there are probably songs which can ease your mind, which can pull you out of a dark mood or set your heart racing. There's music that will lift your heart and make you think the world is a better place than it really is, and there are songs that will convince you that the dark heart of the world is just as decayed and corrupt as you always thought it was, man. Music has a kind of magic to it that can reach to the very core of who we are as thinking, and more importantly, feeling beings. Now that magic is dangerous enough in our world, where magic doesn't actually exist. Imagine how powerful it would be on a world where magic really was real. Like, to pick one out of thin air, Discworld. Now of course, Discworld has had its share of trouble with popular entertainment before. Acting troops brought about an elf invasion in Lords and Ladies, and the horrible betentacled things of the dungeon dimension nearly escape thanks to the disc's proto-cinema in Moving Pictures. There's just something about the arts in Discworld that leads to trouble, and it's usually the world-ending kind. In this case, though, the introduction of rock and roll, better known in Ankh-Morpork as music with rocks in, is only really dangerous to one person. A young man named Imp Iselin, he's just 18 years old and already one of the best bards of Lalamados, and he wants to make something of his life. He wants to be more than just another bard. And in a mysterious shop that has only recently always been where it was, he finds his chance. Or rather, his chance finds him. A guitar-like instrument that does what no guitar should do. It whines, it growls, it sends out noises that run straight down your spine and make your nerves run with fire. It's clearly not of this world, and it wants nothing more than to live. For that, it needs to change Imp's fate, and by extension the fate of hundreds in Ankh-Morpork. Soon, Imp and his band, called The Band with Rocks In, are the most famous thing in the city, and the strange magic of this music is being felt everywhere. Even the wizards are helpless against it. Now normally this would result in the aforementioned horrible bee-tentacled things, but in this case it's more of a reversion to teenage years that never were. Still, Arch-Chancellor Ridcully knows that there's some force acting on people that shouldn't be there, and nothing good ever comes of that. Now, as if that all weren't enough, death, you know,
death,
has decided to get all existential and tries to figure out how he can make himself forget for a while. Why he decides to do this is not clearly explained, but it results in him leaving his duty. In his place comes his young granddaughter, Susan, who would be great for the job if she didn't think the whole idea of personifying a force of nature was just romantic woolly thinking. And it would be even better if she knew what her connection was to the doomed musician, Imp Yselin. This book can be seen as a companion, really, to the earlier book Moving Pictures, as an examination of and an homage to popular culture. By transplanting it to the Discworld, Pratchett is able to look at rock music from the point of view of people who've never even thought about such a thing before, and who can more easily see the magic of it. And, of course, it's his big chance to make as many music jokes, puns, and references as humanly possible. From the very translation of Imp's name, where Imp means small bud, and Yselin means of the holly, to some proto-heavy metal musicians trying to make leopard skin prints from a cat that has severe hearing difficulties. It's a sort of love letter to rock and roll and all that it's brought to us. From teeny boppers to punk to the horrible misuses of leather and spandex, it holds a mirror up to the way that rock music has influenced our modern culture. But it doesn't mock. Oh, no, 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 no. It shows great attention to and reverence for this young art form that has done so much to change the world. To list all the references that were made in this book would be nearly impossible, but the amount of work and thought that went into making it is really very clear. And more importantly, the book addresses some questions that are a little bit deeper than the simple rock and roll jokes, like Death's question where he asks, "What's it all about, seriously, when you get right down to it?" Probably since the beginning of music, people have tried to find meaning in it. People have connected to music and to musicians in ways that they could never connect to other people, even family and friends. People find meaning in music, which then gives meaning to their lives, and the more you give your life to something, the harder the crash comes when that thing goes away. Imp discovers this in a very literal sense, but out here in the real world, it's just as true. You know, people mourned for Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley and Kurt Cobain and all these other stars as if they knew them. And in a way, I'm sure they thought they did. Like so much else in this world, though, music doesn't have any meaning except what we give to it. The great musicians, the truly great ones, the ones we always lose too soon, give everything they have. They manage to say to us what we've been saying to ourselves but could never really figure out how to put into words. Music is the voice our emotions could use if our stupid brains didn't get in the way all the time, and the best people lucky enough to be able to create it gain a kind of immortality. Unfortunately, not the actual literal kind. So if you love music, especially rock music, then this is a book you should definitely pick up and read. Even if you're not a Discworld fan, you'll enjoy it. And if you've ever been in a rock band and you haven't read this book, you need to read it because it will bring back many happy or at the very least entertaining memories. So let me give you a quote. This is probably my favorite quote from the book. It's so good that I actually used this quote in some classroom material when we were studying personification in class. Because I love this quote. "This was music that had not only escaped, but it had robbed a bank on the way out. It was music with its sleeves rolled up and its top button undone, raising its hat and grinning and stealing the silver. It made you want to kick down walls and descend the sky on steps of fire. It made you want to pull all the switches and throw all the levers and stick your fingers in the electric socket of the universe to see what happened next. It made you want to paint your bedroom walls black and cover it with posters." So that is from Soul Music by Terry Pratchett. Anyone who was ever a teenager, you know exactly what that's like. All right. Like I said, this is kind of a shorter podcast today because I got things to do. I've got my daily writing up to day 32 today, and I think I know what I'm doing, which is an advantage. And I got some other stuff to do tonight. So let me give you a clue to next week. Of course, next week is the last Thursday in the month, which means it is time for the next of the Night Watch books, of which there are four. There are four. I downloaded and finished the final book, which is The Final Watch, so we're all good there. And it is about supernatural, it's about Russia and things like that, so I did a little poking around on the internet, and I found some information about Russian vampires. And so my question to you, what is one of the most common ways, other than, you know, being bitten by another vampire, what is one of the most common ways to become a vampire, according to Russian folklore? All right, so that's your question. You can probably Google it. It's not that hard. If I can find it, you can find it. Let me know. So that is about it for this week. Oh, I got one more thing for you. If you are a science fiction and fantasy fan, which you probably are if you're listening to my podcast, head on over to npr.org. They're conducting a survey, the best of science fiction and fantasy. They're interested in knowing what we, the internet reader people, think. They do have some rules as to what kind of books they will not accept, but by and large, pretty much anything is open. So if there's some science fiction and fantasy that you've always loved and you want to see it get its due, head over to npr.org and find the link for the best of science fiction and fantasy. And I will leave you with that. Whatever you do this week, do it well, have fun doing it, and I will see you all next week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelablib.org, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you would like to recommend, I would be happy to hear it. If you'd like to send me an email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes, become a fan on Facebook, or follow LabLib on Twitter. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. And until then, keep reading.